All right, well, the title of tonight's lesson is Heaven Can't Wait. All right, Heaven Can't Wait. Now, as we spoke of, Jesus has many names, many titles, right? And each of these names has special significance. One of my favorite titles, one of my favorite names for the Lord is he's been referred to as the Great Physician because of, well, for one, the many healings, the many miraculous recoveries that we see, the miraculous things that he accomplished during his earthly ministry. Not to mention those things which he did through the apostles afterwards. You see, as I read through the Word of God and I look at the things that Christ has done, I stand amazed as those who were alive at that time, who were recipients of those healings, as those who were witnesses to the power of God right in front of their very eyes must have been amazed as they stood back and watched God's ability and his power to heal, to cleanse from within. And when we talk about healing, when we talk about the miraculous power of Jesus, one of the things that come to my mind isn't just the ability to heal the body, but the ability to heal the soul, to cleanse from the sin. For that is why he is the great physician, for he can heal what no one else can heal. Tonight, we're going to go into the Gospel of Luke. If you would, please go to Luke chapter 5. That's where we're going to start off at. You see, people would come from all around the nations. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, when they heard that he was passing through, it said that people would come from all the surrounding countries, and they would come to meet him wherever he was. People would come to him with all sorts of diverse afflictions and infirmities to come to receive the healing that this man, Jesus, who was taking the world and changing it, that he was able to perform in their lives. They were drawn to him, just as we must be drawn to him. So there's some items of note in the text that we're going to examine here in a moment. We're going to examine, by God's grace, apply to our lives as well. But first, please join me. Let's pray for the message, and we'll dive right into this text. Father God, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you first and foremost, Lord. Thank you for what you have done and what you are doing, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to come and to worship, Lord, to be in your house, Lord. We thank you for the fellowship. Father, we ask for your blessing on those who are here tonight and those who could not be here, that you would draw us closer to you. Father, I pray that you would help me to speak clearly and to think clearly, that your message, your word would be received tonight, that it would be your message which is spoken, Father. Help us all to have open ears and open hearts to receive it, and Lord, furthermore, to apply it to our lives, Lord, to take action, Father, where you stir the heart to do so. Lord, we love you. We pray that you would be well pleased with our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so if you would please start there in Luke chapter 5. We're going to start off at verse 17. We're going to talk about the man who had palsy. He was crippled. He couldn't move. He had an issue of the body, a physical issue that he was dealing with. Some things I want to outline here. So if you would please there, chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "And it came to pass on a certain day that as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." See, here Christ, Jesus, is doing what he always did, right? He was preaching the word. He was giving the good news. He was trying to tell them about the kingdom of God to come. He was instructing, right? He was doing what teachers do. And people were coming, as we just spoke of a minute ago during our introduction, they were coming from all nations to see him, all the surrounding areas. This flock, this mass of people have come. And the reason, I would wager that the reason they've come to see him are one of two things. You see, it's possible that some of them have come to hear what he has to say, to hear the teaching, right? But I feel that just as many, if not more, have come to witness a miracle because they know what this man is capable of. They've heard the stories, and those stories are what has drawn them, right? That is what's drawn them from the surrounding areas. They've come to see this Jesus that they keep hearing about. This man is passing through. I will go to see him, is what's happened. But then we just read there a second ago, there are others who came to see Jesus for a different reason. Pharisees and doctors of the law. They did not come to see a miracle. They came to hear this man, this prophet, this preacher, this teacher, to see what he would say, to see if he was going to say anything or do anything which crossed their laws, right? They don't like it whenever someone else is getting attention, when someone else is seen as the authority on the scriptures, or the authority on God, when someone else can draw crowds like this. That's very concerning to them. But these people have come because of the power of God, because of the power that Christ has displayed. They wanted to see or receive a miracle. The next two verses, 18 and 19. And behold, men brought in a bed and a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And the him before him is the man with palsy before Christ. And 19 says, and when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. There's a lot to talk about there. The first thing that comes to my mind is, what was going on in the minds of the people who were here to see Jesus as this was taking place? First person I think about is the disciples and the crowd around, right? What were they thinking to see these men with their friend who was on his couch, which basically just means that which he was sitting on? We don't know what exactly it looked like. I doubt it's like your lazy boy at home today. It's probably not fancy. But whatever it was, they were carrying him in it, and he was resting on that. So I imagine the crowd, as these men, we know that there were four of them, they take him up on the rooftop after seeing that they can't get into the door because of all the crowd of people. They might have even went over to the windows and said, I can't reach him here. Going around, they thought to themselves, we can't get to him. He's too far from us. There's something separating us. And in this case, it was the crowd. And as they went up on the roof, they began to break apart the roof to get to Jesus, to get their friend to him, so that they could get to him. And I think to myself, well, in a moment, we'll talk about what they must have been thinking. But I think of the spectacle that must have caused. I can only imagine what Christ was thinking. I know what it's like for me being up here giving the word and trying to deliver the message and keep my thoughts clear. I pray that the Lord helps me do that. And I just think of how little things can distract you. And I think of, wow, if I was there and someone came crashing through the roof, I'd have a sure hard time keeping my head straight. And then I think of the crowd. What are they thinking? You know, what are you doing? What's going on? What's that sound? Second thing that comes to my thoughts now is the men that are coming through the roof. What is it that's on their mind that would drive them to do this? You see, there were a number of things that could have gone through their mind. They had a number of choices, a number of options when they came to the house to find Jesus in there, surrounded with this multitude of people. What are some of the options that they had? Well, they could have said, sorry, friend, we can't get in there right now. There's too many people. There's always tomorrow. We'll come back. Or, you know, maybe if we just wait till the crowd subsides, if we just wait till the crowd is lessened, we can catch him when he leaves on his way to the next place, maybe. We'll catch him when he goes, right? We'll just wait around for him. That was an option. They maybe could have called out. I don't know how loud the crowd was, but maybe they could have called to him for help. You know, they could have called out, you know, Son of David, Christ, Jesus, Messiah. They could have called out his name. But what did they do? Their desperation, their desire for Christ, whether it be for themselves or for the man which they brought, their desire was to get to Christ. And I think to myself, that makes me think of the mindset that we must have. These men had decided that nothing, no barrier, no distance, there was nothing that was going to keep them from coming to and bringing their friend to see Jesus that day. They were willing to get, I can only imagine what the law was, or what kind of rules, or what kind of trouble they could have got into for walking, climbing up on someone's house and tearing the roof apart to get in. I know that probably wouldn't go real well today. So I can only imagine the lengths that they were willing to go to, the risk they were willing to take. I think about that, and it's clear. Although the crowd may have been distracted by the world, these men were focused on the Word. Difference in thinking. Some had come to see Jesus, others had come to receive Jesus. Something to think about. So let's move on to verse 20 here. Join me as we go to Luke verse 20. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven. This brings us to our first point. Although these men, no doubt, I have no doubt in my mind, these men had come for one purpose. They were coming to receive something from Jesus, and that thing was healing. I have no doubt that they had come to witness a miracle, and not only to be witnesses to it, but for their friend, the man that they were carrying on the couch, the man who they desperately were getting to Christ, they'd come for him to be healed. But Jesus had something else in mind. You see, their thoughts were on this world. I want to see a miracle. I want my friend to be healed. I want his infirmity to be gone. But Jesus knew that the most important thing, what we need healing from more than anything, we need the forgiveness of sin. So while they came to receive a lesser blessing, a lesser healing of physical healing, Christ was there to provide what mattered most, which was the cleansing, the healing of the inner man, the spirit, to cleanse them from their sin, from their unrighteousness. And I want you to note what he says, what it says there. I'm going to read this part of the verse again. I want you to think about this. We see where he says, man, thy sins are forgiven. But what's the first part of verse 20? When he saw their faith, they didn't ask for their sins to be forgiven. Christ responded to their faith. It was faith that moved Christ to act in this way. It says, when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven. And that just reinforces, that drives home the thought that these men, that faith is what drove them to such lengths to come in through the rooftop if they had to. They believed and they felt that Jesus can do this. We just have to get to him. If we just have to get to him. I have no doubt in my mind that these men never doubted for a moment his ability to help their friend, his ability to do what they came for him to do. If they had doubted it, I don't think they would have been breaking through someone's roof to see him. If they had doubts, maybe they would have waited till the crowd subsided. Maybe they would have tried to catch him tomorrow. That's not what we see here, though. No, they didn't come for the forgiveness of sin. They came so that life could be better. But he wanted to give them a life more abundant. He wanted to give them more than just this life we have today. I wrote a note here about this. No bodily healing could change the inward man. Jesus did far more than physically heal. He healed in a way which no physician could. This healing that they received for their sins to be forgiven, this is the healing which only the great physician can deliver. That is why he's the great physician. It's not just his miraculous ability to heal the body, but the soul. Important lesson here. Nothing, no matter how important, no matter how pressing it may seem, nothing which tries us, nothing which brings us down or that we wrestle with in this life, though it may be difficult, nothing is more important than coming to Christ and receiving the healing that only He can give. Nothing. So the first point I want to make with you tonight is that the forgiveness of sin is our greatest need. It is our greatest need. This life goes by in the twinkling of an eye. No one knows the day. No one knows. The moments that we have here are precious and few. I heard a story from, I believe it was your father, I believe it was Keith, that Keith Richmond, who had told me of a young man that went to school with Nathan, and young in college, and one day he just disappeared. Sometime later, they found this young man. His time on this world had gone. No one could have foretold that coming. I'm sure this young man had no idea how short his days were. And so this is why I've titled tonight's message, Heaven Can't Wait. Do not put it off. If the Lord is drawing you, if Jesus is there, do as these men did. Stop at nothing. Your faith will surpass any barrier. Come to God Almighty. Go to Jesus for the only healing that He can receive, that He can deliver to you. Don't wait. These men knew that. And this is why also, as a note, when we pray on our Wednesday nights, we always pray for salvation. We pray for the physical things of this world, but salvation, that's what we need. That's what they need. So notice that when these men arrived, to find that they couldn't get into the house, the crowd packed them in like sardines. They skipped all those options. My thoughts are that on their mind, they were saying to themselves, it's now or never. We can't afford to let this opportunity go by. We can't afford to miss him. And that's just like the life that we have here today. The time that we have is the time that we have to receive Christ, to receive that gift of grace. These men knew that. They knew that. Jesus was so close, and they were willing to stop at nothing. They said, I must have Jesus. And I think about the man. I think about the man who was helpless to get himself there, right? The man with the palsy. How did he get to Jesus? What does the story say, folks? Did they not bring him? Right? So no doubt, his faith was present. Otherwise, the Lord wouldn't have forgiven him. So his faith was there that Jesus could do it. But if someone hadn't brought him, if someone hadn't brought him, he wouldn't have been able to go to him. And that reminds me, that makes me think of the lost out there, the people that we each know, those folks who we pass by on a day-to-day basis. You see, maybe it's someone in your mind right now as I'm speaking these words that's popping up in your mind. Maybe it's a loved one, a friend. Maybe it's a close relative who you've been praying over for many years. Maybe it's that person who maybe you don't know. You see, sometime during my life when the Lord got a hold of my heart, I stopped seeing people as just people that I didn't know. When I stop in at the convenience store on my way up to Charleston for drill, and I stop in there and I lay down my $1.50 so I could break a five to make those tolls, right? When I lay it down and I see the cash register there, some person who I'll never cross again, I think to myself, that's a soul behind that counter. Though I may never see you again, you have an eternal destination. And I think to myself, is there something that I could say? Is there something I could just lead you with just to get you to think about it? Is there a seed I could have planted? And I think that these men, it paints that picture in my mind of those people who know we cannot give them salvation. We can't do it all, but we can tell them. We can do as much for them as these men did for the man with the palsy. You see, they didn't do the healing. Jesus did it. But they did their part in bringing him to Jesus. And we can do our part. So two points I want to make. First and foremost, heaven can't wait, folks. If you feel the Lord pulling your heart, or if you've got questions in your heart, or if there's any time in your life when you've had to think to yourself, I just don't know. Maybe I have Jesus, or maybe I don't, or maybe you've been thinking, you know, one day I'm going to get that straight. Today's the day. Heaven can't wait. The second thing I have for you is don't forget that we have a part to play in bringing others to Christ. Those who are lame, those who are blind, those who don't know what you know, bring them, even if it means coming through the roof. by any means necessary, they'll thank you. So I want these principles that we're talking about tonight, I want you to know that applies to evangelism. It applies in the four walls of your home with your children, your loved ones, your friends. It even applies to people who we don't know. When you start seeing people as souls and think of them with an eternal destination, it'll make you think differently about how much time you have to spare. We get so wrapped up in our day-to-day lives, and that's natural. That's normal. I do the same thing. I just ask that we think about that we have the heart that these men had. By any means, they were bringing this man to Jesus. So the third point that I want to give you is that faith is all you need. Faith is all that you need. You see, it says that there at Luke verse 20 that we just read, I kind of hit on this a second, but I'd like to really drive this home, is that it says, when he saw their faith, it was faith, and that's all that it took, was faith for this man to receive his salvation, for this man to be cleansed of his sins. God's word tells us that whosoever believeth on him, whosoever believeth on him, that's the one who's going to get his sins cleansed. That's the one. There's no requirement other than faith, other than believe on him. That's it. And you know, here's the thing too. I was thinking about this on the drive home because I had quite a bit of time to drive. Driving back from Charleston, it gets kind of lonely. You got time to think about some things. And I was thinking about the message tonight, and I was thinking about this part in particular, and I thought to myself, aren't you glad that it's just faith that's required? How many times, well, you know, I'll ask you, but I'll use myself as the example. How many times have you tried to do something and said, you know what, I think I could do this. I think I'm going to need one more chance, though. Well, give me a couple chances and I can get it, right? Had done that a couple of times with a couple of things, right? Aren't you glad that God says, you know what, you get infinite chances, and even if you don't get it in affinity, I don't care. Just have faith. I'm awful glad of that. I've used more chances than I can count. God's been good through it all. The last point that I want to make here, and we'll talk about this for just a moment. Let's read verse 21 before we come to the real point that I want to drive home. Verse 21. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason. So they were thinking about this. They said, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Here we have Christ working the works of God, basically showing his divine attributes. At the same time, the Pharisees, the doctors of the law who had come to see him, were denying him. But in denying him, they identify him. Did you catch that? Isn't that kind of funny if you think about that? Of their own accord, they announce this. So, wow, God. So here we see him using these Pharisees who were against him. He uses them to declare to the crowd who he is. Why? Because of what he's done. So by forgiving this man of his sins, they declare, who can forgive sins but God alone? In that statement, they identify him as God, for he has forgiven him of sins. The point that I want to make here tonight is that only Jesus can cleanse you of your sins and my sins. Only one can pay the price that we owe. Only one can wash us white as snow, and that's Jesus Christ. They said it themselves, God alone, for he was God. The scripture tells us that there is no other mediator between God and man but Christ Jesus. Scripture tells us that he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. I want to impress upon you one focusing thing, one thought in your minds as we kind of recap on the message tonight, as we kind of go over our story here of Jesus and the man with the palsy, the man with the physical infirmity. The main focus that I want you to get, and I really think I've been driving on this, so I hope you guys are with me. Heaven can't wait. Faith is all you need. There is no reason to wait. There is no barrier too great. Have the faith in the heart of these men who brought their friend. Stop at nothing. And by stop at nothing, obviously, there's nothing that you and I can do, right? It's not a work that we do. It's a work that the Lord does. However, you say, well, what part do we play? What do you mean stop at nothing? What's stopping me? I'll tell you what stops us. Pride. Denial of who Christ is. That stops us. Being embarrassed can stop us. Being unsure, being worried about what the world is going to think. You see, these men, they didn't care what the crowd thought. They didn't even care about what the guy who owned the house thought. They were coming through the roof to meet Jesus. That's the same spirit we must have. If you feel the Lord calling you tonight, I pray for you. I pray for anyone who is on your heart that they would respond to the call that Christ has put on their lives. If you feel Christ drawing you, if you have this burning question in your mind and in your heart saying, Christ, am I yours? Christ, can you heal me? Will you be my great physician to remove my sins? If that's you tonight, then I pray that as the congregation sings in a moment, that you'll respond to that call as these men did, that you'll stop at nothing. And I'll show you from the Word of God how you can know that heaven is your home, that you're a child of God, that your sins are forgiven. And one day, just like this man, you'll get up and walk side by side with the Lord. I ask now, I invite the music ministry to come forward and do a hymn with us. And I invite anyone here who feels that drawing to come forward.
I'm my own.
Well, many of you know, I assume everybody knows Frances here. Well, she has shared a desire upon her heart to join with the membership of Bluestone Baptist Church and the members here. Upon speaking to her prior, her testimony of salvation and of her baptism, I ask if we have a motion to extend the right hand of fellowship to Frances Crook. I have two. All in favor? Aye. Aye. Amen. I extend the right hand of fellowship. All right, so at this time, if you would please join me as we close out the service in prayer. Afterwards, if you would please just come with me to the end.
Okay.
We'll get you right hand. You're fine right here. You can stay right here with me. You're just fine.
Okay.
All right. Please join me as we pray and close out the message. Father God, we thank you, Father, for the time that we've had here tonight, Lord, for the sweet message that you've given, Lord, for the fellowship that we've had. Father, we ask that you would draw, as you do, Lord, those who are lost, those who are wandering, those who question, Father, that you would bring them to you. Father, that they would have the heart of the men that we just read about who stopped at nothing, Lord. Father, for we know that you are the great physician, that you are able to heal all infirmities, Lord, but furthermore, you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of this world. Father, we pray that you would be with us, that you would use us, that you'd be glorified, Lord, in all that we do. Father, we thank you for Francis and for the members of this church, Father. We lift our lives up to you, Father, that you'd be well pleased. Father, we love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.